We have no idea how old he was or how young he was, the man or the boy in the story that we read this morning. It could have very well been a teenager. It could have been an old man. But let's assume that he was a boy, a young boy, young teenager. He could not hear, and he couldn't speak well. An impediment, the Bible says, means he stammered, probably even more slurred his speech, mumbled. And among all the other boys, he felt really different. And boys and girls, I think you know what that feels like. You don't really want to feel different, especially when you're young. That feels awkward. I feel shy. You feel a little nervous, or very nervous, and you hide that, of course, but you know inside of you. You don't like to be different than other people. Even as adults, we have that. We certainly have that more when we're young. And so if this indeed was a boy, and perhaps I understand now why Jesus took him aside in verse 33, because we don't really know why he did that. It says when they brought him, they took him aside from the multitude. He took him alone. Alone. You don't know why. We can guess. But maybe one of the reasons was that he felt everybody looking at him. And I know when you feel like that, you wish you could be invisible, that nobody would see you. I know you feel like that, children, because I used to feel like that too. And so maybe that's the reason he took him aside and touched his ears, put his finger in his ears, it says, and then spit and put a little spit on his tongue. Now, what's the message? What's God telling us this morning in this Bible story? Let's together consider this. Jesus the healer. That's what God is wanting to tell us. Jesus is the healer for you and me. And first of all, he is a compassionate healer. I'll explain that word in a moment, but that's an important word for us to remember and to learn. Compassionate. Passion means feeling. Come means together. Compassion, someone who feels together with another. Jesus is a compassionate healer, and he is also a capable healer. We can see that here. And this is a hopeless case. Deaf and not able to speak well. So let's together listen to what God has to tell us about Jesus Christ. He is a compassionate healer. Compassionate. Compassionate is a person who thinks of others. Now, a step further, who feels along with others. A compassionate boy or a girl is a boy or a girl who steps in the shoes of someone else and thinks about life through his or her eyes or ears or life. That's tough. That's difficult. That doesn't come just natural. You got to do some work for that. He feels the sadness and the needs. You know, he cannot just walk past someone who hurts or who's lonely or who's teased, or who's rejected. A person's compassion can't just say, ah, well, that's his or her problem. No, he says, that's my problem. That's compassionate. He feels the pain and the hurt someone else feels. And then, that's not all. He does a little more. He not only thinks and feels, then he acts. He does something about it. He does something to try to help the person that he or she sees. Let's read now in the Bible from Mark. It says, and Jesus again departing from the coast in Mark 7 verse 31, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, which is up in the north, came down walking through the Sea of Galilee area, which is Decapolis. And all of a sudden there, he sees a group of people coming to him. It says, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. That's really touching. There's a few friends in this little town where Jesus is walking through. And notice what those friends did. They took that boy, that shy one, that maybe nervous one, that one who really didn't like it the way he was, and maybe felt afraid even to come near to others. But anyway, they took him. They were looking out for this young man in their village. And they walked him to Jesus. Now that's touching. As I said, this boy, it may have been a man, but let's make it a boy this morning. He was different. He couldn't talk along with all the talk that went around him. He couldn't laugh along either because he never heard anything. When he saw all the kids laughing, I don't know what they're laughing about. He stood there like a little awkward boy. And maybe after a while he just left them be. Wandered himself to the fields by himself. Because he couldn't understand anybody. He's deaf. And that's maybe why he felt so shy and different, because maybe he couldn't hear that, but they could hear that he couldn't speak very well. So probably, children, this boy or this man, or he probably did at one point in his life have ears to hear. Because a person that's born deaf will never speak. He had an impediment, he has a shortcoming in his speech. So when you become deaf and you don't hear anymore the feedback of your own voice and the voices of others to imitate, your speech goes down and down and down. And finally, you can't speak well anymore. So there he is. And one day, he sees the boys or the men running to him or to her. No, to him. And he sees the group running to him. And maybe, what are you doing? And he took his hand, come along with us. You see them just going to the village and they are meeting Jesus. They want him to meet this traveling preacher and this famous healer that has been going through the country, this Jesus. And they want to take him there. And they do. It's touching. And notice what it says, and after they reach Jesus, they beseech him to put his hand upon him. So they're asking, please, Rabbi, Jesus, will you please put your hand on him? That means, will you please make him better? Well, that's kind of amazing already. They had some hope that Jesus could make this young man better. I mean, can't hear, can't speak. But they are obviously not so doubtful that Jesus could, but they begged him, please, will thou do it? Now that's real compassion. They don't just feel sorry for the boy. They just don't think, it's so sad when you're like that. And I am sure when you are in your classrooms, you're in your school playground, you are in your families, you see kids or people, that sometimes you indeed say that. You know, that's really sad for him or sad for her. And that's really awesome when you feel that. But now go one step further. Do what these men did. They took him. They reached out to him. They touched him. He did something. That is what really is a beautiful example to us this morning. I know some of you are such friends. I was sitting in my study this week. And Ryan, I've seen you being trucked around in his wheelchair, back and forth over that road. Everybody was taking a turn, it looked like. That was awesome to see this week. I was thinking of that when I was preparing the sermon. Some of you have been reaching out to another classmate. That is obviously feeling a little different, because he has something different. Some of you are looking out for those that feel shy and nervous, or aren't so quick and so strong as you are. Now, there are always children that can't play ball as well as you can, or that can't do math as well as you can, or maybe they are just really shy. Continue to look for those, and continue to do what these boys did. Show compassion. Don't laugh behind their back. Don't talk about them. That's not compassion. That's evil. No. Don't avoid them either. Don't skip them and don't let them be by themselves. No. Be a circle of friends in your classrooms, in your school, in your families. And we can all learn from that in our communities. Our first community is our church community. Or beyond that, the communities in which we live and work. And so will we do what they did? Will we join our hearts and our hands together to seek to bring such to the love and the power and the mercy and the wisdom and the greatness of God? For that's the only one that can help. They brought this young boy or man to Jesus. That was the best address. It says in verse 33, and Jesus took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit, and he touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed. And he saith unto him, Ephphatha, let's be opened. Why did he do all those things? Take the boy aside. Fingers in his ears, touch his tongue. Why? That's sign language. Boy couldn't hear. He couldn't hear the Ephphatha either. But he could see something. What did he see? He could see looking up to heaven. And he could see. Sigh. He could see that. Kids that are deaf, they have really keen eyes. Jesus spoke in sign language. He's sending us a message to this boy and to us also. Jesus was touched, deeply touched. That is his compassion, children. Jesus is the most compassionate, the most sensitive, the most feeling human being that has ever been on the earth. He is a human being, just like you and I, without sin. And he is the most compassionate, the most feeling one that ever walked on the earth. And when he sees this young boy or this man, he sighs because he feels so much his sorrow, his pain, his burden. There's so much in this little sigh. Jesus often is showing his sensitivity. He has no problem weeping when he sees Jerusalem. It literally says in the Greek, he is shaking with sobbing. He sits on that donkey. You could just see him shake as the tears come out of his eyes. He's so moved when he sees the city that soon will be leveled to the ground. He's compassionate. You know, when a leper comes, he touched the leper. That man hasn't been touched for years by anybody. Jesus touched him, even though he's not allowed to touch him according to the Jewish law. When he comes by the Samaritan well, he talks to a woman. And nobody talked to her. except her abusers or users or her husband or whatever. But he did. Why? He's moved. He's moved with compassion. This is Jesus. And then in our story, we read here, he sighed. This one sigh is a sermon. John Calvin, he wrote this. This sigh of Jesus makes us see the real love of Jesus for fallen men. This sigh makes us feel the real love of Jesus for fallen men as he feels the pain, our misery, a sin brought upon ourselves. He's not untouched by that. As Jesus sees how broken and how hurting and how fearful and how disabled we are through sin and how we suffer our misery because of it, he sighed. He sighed. The word is groaned with compassion. And that is a sermon in itself, this little sigh. That is a sermon of a million words. As we see Jesus there standing, and he groans, and he lets this young man feel his feeling for him. What a hope-giving truth that is, children. We have angered God. We have offended God. We hurt God, we hurt ourselves, we destroyed ourselves, and yet that hasn't stopped God from feeling love, exercising love. God is not unfeeling about seeing the results of our sin. He's not like, oh well, I want you, you chose it, bye-bye. You made your bed, you lay in it, as we would say. That's not what God is. From the very early dawn of the dark day, he walked into this world. Where art thou, Adam? Please, friend, let's think biblically about God. He is as grieved as any father will be grief when he sees his son or daughter choose the wrong path and lead in life that leads to utter destruction. He sighed. Let us not be cold-hearted. Let us not be unsighing when we see others troubled by their own foolish choices. You know what that is? To be unfeeling about the foolish choices that others make, that is the heart of worldliness. We like to measure worldliness in outward appearance and outward choices, but God measures worldliness by the lack of compassion for the lost. That is the most ungodly, ungodlike living. Let's sing together. Psalter 200, verse 1 and 2. Christ shall have dominion. And then verse 2 is really also awesome. When the needy seek him. Now here we have an example. He will mercy show, yea, when the weak and helpless shall his pity know. His pity, that is his compassion. That's another word for it. So Psalter 200, verse 1 and 2.
Thank you.
God is speaking to us about Jesus Christ, the healer. And he has told us this morning that his son and him, who is revealed in his son, is a compassionate healer. But now, secondly, let's consider also his capableness, his ability. They brought unto Jesus this boy or this man who was deaf, couldn't speak well. We're thinking about you boys and girls and about us men and women, and there is not anybody here in our church who is like that, is there? Children that are deaf or men that are deaf and that can't speak well. Or am I wrong about that? Or must I say that unless God has already changed you by his grace, that we have a whole church full, not a whole church anymore, there's grace here, but all those who do not have grace are just like this boy. Deaf, can speak well. We elders and pastors will go on house visitation pretty soon again. And we hear that all the time. And we come in your families and we ask, well, what's the Lord been teaching you? And what can you tell us about the Lord? And then we hear impediments of speech. Now we hear a whole lot in some homes. Talk about the farm, how it goes. Great. Talk about the weather. Great. Lots of talk. And all of a sudden when we get to God and the more deeper matters of our heart, and then it gets really quiet. And children, isn't that like that too? You can start a catechism again this week. Bible, religious education in school. And then we ask some questions about God and about the Bible, and I don't know. He can talk and talk about bikes and mountain bikes and games and all the details. And come to God, I don't know. Bible, I don't know. Or no answer. That's like this boy then. Impediment. He can't talk well. We can talk about foolish things, we can chatter forever, and we can even talk back and disrespectful, and we can share about the latest, and that's not good talking in God's ears. There's also times you don't speak up. When you hear things others say or do, are you saying, and is God hearing, hey, guys, we don't talk like that about someone else? You dare to do that? Or then all of a sudden you say, I'm not talking. That's not right, but I am not talking. I'm not saying anything. You can also talk without talking. Some people are good at ignoring other people. Some people are good in just avoiding others. That's also an impediment in speech. I always say, if you see someone without a smile, make sure you give them a smile. And you can do that by a word, by a little smile yourself. That's all talking. So maybe we are very much like this young man. And not only our speech is a problem, let's think about the other problem he had that brought his speech problem. It was he was deaf. He was deaf. Deaf to God. Are we not like that? Let me ask you now, when Elder Harry Bosch read the law this morning, how many of you heard that? How many of us were switched off already the moment he started? How many of us have ever heard the thunder in God's law when he says, you are the man that is the sinner? Ever heard that? Ever felt that God spoke to you when that law is read or when you hear the word preached? You know, when we can hear the law and we can hear the demand of God and we can walk out of church and chatter out there, then I am thinking that we must be deaf. Deaf to the law. We got a problem, don't we? It's like he did. Or when we hear about the gospel, the sweet music and the beautiful message of the love of God, that he came into this world and that he is standing before you with the offer of grace, saying, my son, my daughter, why would you die? Why would you continue to live in this state of separation between me and you? Return to me. I have everything to give to you and everything to restore to you. And you can just walk on. As if you just read a New World advertisement about a new piece of food that is for sale. Say, I don't want it. That's how many of us walk away from the gospel. Why is that? That's because you're deaf. You're deaf to the beautiful, unbelievably beautiful message of the gospel, which sings the heart of God as he declares his love in his son Jesus Christ. We are still having ears like Adam did, perhaps. For Adam only heard thunder and fear when he heard the voice of God, and he had rights to do so indeed. But he thought, God is out to get me. But friends, listen to this. And he, looking up to heaven, he sighed. He groaned. He will look in the heart of God. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. This sigh comes out of the very bosom of God's heart. He's not out here to destroy you. He's not out to make your life end. He is here to bring life and to make a new beginning. We're deaf to the law, deaf to the gospel. We're also deaf to God's providence. We have it so good. So good. We don't realize how blessed we are. There's an honor roll in New Zealand, but there's also a dishonor roll in New Zealand. That at this moment, for the last 10 years, has been added 61 names to the dishonor roll. What is that roll? In the last 10 years, 61 children have died of crimes and abuse, of neglect and violence and hunger in New Zealand. And you were not one of those. And I wasn't one of those. You hear God's call? He's laying us in cotton balls of peace and prosperity and health. Think of the health we have. We sit here together. Do we hear the voice of God's providence? Oh, we are saying, oh, they haven't heard the voice of God in the world yet, haven't they? Have you? Are you sinking and am I sinking away in amazement that we're sitting here together without any restrictions and face masks and everything else? Do we hear God's voice or are we deaf? Deaf. I think we're largely deaf. Do you hear something sweet? And when God's people testify, witness about their life, or do you find that boring? Boring when a child of God, a believer, begins to share with you how the Lord is special. And how he loves the Lord and seen the glory of God. And when he may speak, or he or she may speak about the beauty of the Savior and try to win your heart, you say, ah, get lost. I'm not interested. Or when they share with you the burden and the struggles that they have of their sin, and they sigh, you say, ah, I don't want anything of that. You don't hear the sweetness of that, do you? So if you don't look at these four aspects, the message of the law, the music of the gospel, the call of providence, and the sweet testimony, God's children, must you not say this morning, I am like this man. I don't hear this. And when I get questions about my soul and about what God means, I'm stammering or stuttering or slurring my speech. I don't know what to say. I am like that. He said, what am I to do about that then? What am I to do about this? Well, you can do nothing about that. Indeed, you can do nothing about that. Hearing aids will not help. No medicine for the tongue is ever found. That speech problem is not going to be helped by you memorizing scripture this year. You could be able to give all the right answers on the catechism class questions, or the Bible religious education questions. You may be doing all that. You could talk scripture and give all the right answers. That's not the same as having a tongue touched by Jesus Christ. So if you're asking, what must I do about this? Ah, do what these men did. Go directly to Jesus. Take your deaf ear and your stammering tongue to Jesus. Directly call out his name. Let him hear, Lord Jesus, say it. Say it to him. Thou who art the only and able healer, hear me. Just cry to him directly about your ears, about your tongue, about your heart, about your soul. Don't go to anyone else. Call on Jesus. He's the only name given under heaven among men. There's no other name. There's no other minister, no other doctor, no other elder, no other father, mother. No one can help you with this problem. But Jesus can. Here's the proof. Those fingers in his ears, the touching of his tongue with his spit, the words he spoke is ultimately what opened his eyes, his ears, and his mouth. Ephatha, be open. It's a command. And that is only Jesus' ability. Go boldly to him, freely. Don't fear. Do not hesitate. Do not ever question whether you are welcome to Jesus. You don't need a letter of recommendation. You don't. You don't need to come to him with someone else's help. They may, these men did, but you must go directly and call upon him and be assured you are welcome to come to him. And then thirdly, be as specific as they were. They ask him, Lord, put thy hand upon him. You heard me ask this morning several times, Lord, touch us today. Touch us. Ask the Lord to do that. Open your Bible and ask him, touch me. Touch me. Because you have to listen to the Bible to get a touch. Don't just pray and keep walking. No. Be under the word where he speaks. Be opened. The Holy Spirit uses the word. So when you've asked the Lord, Lord, please touch me, then quickly run to the Bible and listen for his touch. Listen for his touch. That doesn't make sense, you say, because you don't listen for a touch, but you know what I mean? Listen for the word. Listen for the word to touch you, to draw you, to change you. And so what is the point of this whole message? Jesus is telling us and God is telling us, you must go to Jesus. And Jesus is saying is, you must come to me for your healing of your soul, the healing of your heart. All our words and all our efforts and all our best intentions will save no one. This is Jesus only. You notice at the end of the story that when this man was healed, he got a charge. Jesus told him, you're not allowed to tell anybody about this. Well, he broke that. He went about, did it anyway. That was naughty. But I am not under that order anymore. I'm on a different order. God says, you go in all the world and tell everybody about this. Here I am. I may tell you that there is, with Jesus Christ, the hope for a man, woman like you and me. And how would I now know that Jesus has touched me? Well, this way. When your ears are open and when your tongue is loosed and when you begin to speak plainly, you only know that he touched you by the fruits in your life. Well, I'm going to hear from God. You're going to listen to him differently. When God touches you, you're going to hear his voice everywhere. You're going to hear him everywhere. In his word, in his providence, in people speaking to you, in your catechism teachers, in your school teachers. And God opens your ear if you begin to listen. When God opens your ear, you begin to speak. How? Have mercy upon me, O God. I'm a sinner. That little prayer, it's the prayer that God teaches everyone whose eyes are opened, whose ears are open, whose heart is touched. Have mercy upon me. And as the Lord will open your eyes and your ears better, then we're going to hear, he is altogether lovely. He is the chiefest among 10,000. Give me Jesus, else I die. Away world, away treasures. I want none of that anymore. Give me Jesus. And when you've seen more of Jesus, you hear him speaking more plainly. The question, Lord, what shall I do? What can I do? What may I do for thee? How can I show thee my thankfulness? And that question, they keep on asking. The more they see of sin, the more they see of Jesus, the more they see the need to show the Lord thankfulness. What a beautiful and encouraging history. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thou hast directed us this morning to thy Son, Jesus Christ. Thank thee for that. We need that again and again every week. For thou knowest, Lord, how we take our eyes away from him. And we keep our eyes away from him. We'll end up in the dark. And so we ask thee to direct our view, our eyes, our mind to thy Son, Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, thou hast again reminded us this morning we may come to thee without letters of recommendation, just as we are, deaf and stammering, And Lord, let that take place today. Let none of us here this day not make use of this thy gracious offer. And I plea. And let, Lord, this sigh that we notice here this morning encourage us. What an incredible moment. What an incredible window in thy heart, O God, that even though we've caused our own misery by our own foolish sin, that has not ended thy compassion. We thank thee for this revelation. Let that encourage us, draw us, even when we feel terrible about what we did again. Thank thee, Lord. All praise and thanksgiving is to thee. And use us all that are healed, that know thy touch, that know thy saving touch on our ears and on our heart. Make us like this man, that we may go and publish it a great deal to whatever ear we can find, that thou hast done all things well. For thou hast made us the deaf to hear and us the dumb to speak. All this we lay before thee, O great and honorable Savior and Lord of Lords, and ask thee to answer us graciously. Amen.